want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, geocache, And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 393, The Geocacher's Creed, recorded live on March 11th, 2015. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Scott Burks,
Stevens at Infinitum,
and Task 427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by Cache-Advance for all your geocaching needs. Cache-Advance. Go find it. Yay, it's not wintry out.
Right? Dude, I even pulled it up here. Look at, here's Chicago right now.
What do you got?
What, oh, you can't see the weather.
I see the full moon.
There you go.
42, there we go.
42 degrees. And that's in the dark.
Wow.
42 degrees in the dark.
That is pretty darn good. It was almost 80 here.
It's supposed to be in the 60s this weekend and next week in Chicago.
Well, where was there? I thought, was it Lake Huron? Somebody put out a video over the past week or two of standing over one of the Great Lakes. I can't remember which one. It was solid ice all the way straight down.
Really?
So you see this pristine, it like you literally could see the bottom, but the ice literally went all the way down 20 feet.
Wow. That's ridiculous. We know it's
that.
I was driving home today from work, and I passed a forest preserve. And you can clearly see the lake from the from the road.
Right.
And people were on the lake today. And mind you, it's been like 40 and above for about 4 days now. You couldn't pay me to get on that water.
What could happen?
To walk. You couldn't pay me.
Well, it always happens.
I'll tell you what's going to happen, Andy. They're going to fall through. That's what's going to happen.
You always have it. On the east side of the state of Michigan, you always have those four ice fishermen who have to have the helicopter ride because the ice broke off, and they're riding the lake or the river.
I mean, you couldn't pay me to get on the ice right now. No way. Not after 4 days of 50-degree weather.
No. There is nothing like walking out on a lake like that and hearing that solid crack.
Crack? Yeah, the cracking. Oh yeah, I've done stupid things in my day, including that. Yeah.
Especially yeah, when you're a light individual like myself.
One night, Walt Grogan and I were going for an FTF in the forest preserve, and we snuck into the forest preserve, and it was wintertime, and it was on a peninsula. And rather than walk around to the peninsula, because, you know, who wants to do that? You know, you cut across the water. And right. So we're cutting across the water, and not only is it cracking under our feet, but, like, I could feel the water.
It's like, that's never good.
At 11 o'clock at night in a forest preserve, stupidest things I've ever done in my entire life. That's one of them. But we made it there and back. We actually went back.
Hey, it didn't happen the first time. Let's do it again.
No, you were smart enough to cross at a different location, right?
I think we crossed the same place. As a matter
of fact. Man.
Let's just chance it again. Yeah.
Well, we knew this worked. We know that didn't break. Going that way.
Wow.
We didn't want to walk around because, you know, who walks around? That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
We wouldn't advise it to enter any of our fellow geocachers.
Don't
be stupid. But yeah, with the
weather
improving, I have been out quite a bit, and I've been kind of doing half and half with playing Ingress, which I'm having a lot of fun with, and
really,
also going out and
Ingress.
Doing geocaching.
You're playing? How come you're playing Ingress?
It is addictive. It just is. It's one of those things where I've been invited to several events to go and have fun and just. There's nothing like walking around with 100 different individuals around the state capitol with the police, with, you know, looking at everybody like, what are they doing? And we're just having a good old time blowing up portals. What's wrong with that?
Portals. God. I mean, Joe Kasich's nerdy enough.
You know, the fun part is because you do the geocaching during the day, and then during the evening you go when it's dark and it's really suspicious, and
that's
go
when
play
they can't see you.
What is that large fat man in a hoodie doing? Go get him.
Lovely.
Mr. Scott, how about yourself?
Good. It was a beautiful weekend, so went out. I had the... Did I have the kids Friday night? No, I did not. Saturday. I know I went out Saturday all day. Went out all day Saturday and geocached like crazy. All puzzle caches that we had answers for. So it was a good day. Real good day.
Awesome. Any really interesting puzzle caches, or were these ones that you can... What types do you actually prefer when you do those?
I don't do them. I just go after them. I don't solve them. I have probably 800 puzzle caches finds. I've maybe solved 10. Out of that 800.
Wow.
So awesome. I don't know. Jesse got the answers, and we just went.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, you're there.
Well, you know, if she wants to solve them, she can go solve them if she wants. Yeah,
that's right.
I'll go find them. Let's go.
That's right.
That's park and grab for me.
Mr. Corey, how about yourself?
Well, you know, I didn't have a chance to do any caching. I had a bunch of family issues that I was going to take care of. But, you know, we were getting ready for the, you know, Happy Pi Day. So I've got a event that I'm planning for this week. So I've been having fun with the a local pie place that we have here. And so I've been having fun with that. So getting ready all week for that.
Now, are you actually doing the event or attending?
I am hosting the event.
Oh, way to go.
With who? By yourself? Are you hosting it by yourself?
Hosting it by myself.
He himself. Where's
Where's it at?
Due to the GC.com regulations, I cannot post any business.
You can't tell me where it is.
How many pie places is there in Montana? Come on.
Is there any? That's why I'm curious.
Yeah, there's actually a couple. It's the Perkins Family Restaurant chain.
Oh, awesome. Perkins. Yeah, so. Wow. Sure,
they got
Perkins.
Good pies.
Yeah.
And other fine ingredients. Sponsor.
That's a sit-down, though, place, isn't it? Isn't that like a please wait to be seated kind of place?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and they got a whole room sanctioned for us.
Oh, nice.
We're getting it all set up and cozied, so.
Well, you could even do pie a la mode there. I mean, come on.
That's right.
Trust me, come on.
Andy knows
the best way to celebrate Pi Day. I mean, that's the only way I celebrate Pi Day, so.
Is with a la mode?
There you go. Hey, whatever works. Wow. Mr. Tass, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. So I managed to go out and get one of my DT grid items. So, you know, I was down to 3 open slots, went up to 5,
nice.
Now back down to 4 open slots. So,
wow.
On the DT grid. So,
and but, just...
and then... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish that.
And also after that, went out and grabbed another 9 caches on a small trail.
Hmm. Wow, that's awesome.
And to verify your jerkiness, what's the weather in Texas right now?
Oh boy!
Are you sweating?
92 degrees.
The AC
with
is
heat
cooking.
Index of 88.
Lubbock is 68 right now.
Oh, God.
And we are. What are we? Come on.
You know what I'm going to love?
We're at 60
I'm,
right
I'm
now.
I'm going to love when it's summertime and you're like, it's 118 degrees.
I was going to say, it's 115 and lead is already starting to melt.
I wish I was dead. I hate it here.
And Corey will be, it's comfortable in 74 degrees.
Corey's like,
that's right.
Corey will be like, it hit 50 today.
Wow. All right, let's move on. We got podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads is episode 167, randomized 5,364. No, actually, I think it's 32. But anyways, it's time for another round of random topics for the 30-second randomized show. Check out all sorts of subjects, many submitted by the audience. And I'm not reading this from a cue card. Join live at 9:10 p.m. Eastern, 6:10 Pacific, for a chance to win a special price tool. Okay. So I'll have to talk to Daryl about his typing skills and go from there. Apparently, there's a prize you can win. So go check out GeoGearheads tomorrow at 9:10. But before that, head on over to the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, where we have the guys from GeoWoodstock 13 giving a update to all the fun stuff that we talked about a month ago on the Geocaching podcast, and get a little more in-depth of some of the events and background stuff that you're going to be able to do and what to expect when at GeoWoodstock 13 this year. Ooh. All right, Corey, you've got a mini half a second thing, but I'm going to hit this button right here. Let's do this.
News. All right, in the news, Saturday.
That doesn't work.
Wherever you are, have pie, mathematical pie, cherry pie, apple pie, whatever pie you're going to have, but have pie. 3.14, March 14th, pie. Be there, be square, 3.14, pie.
Who said be square?
Yeah, I was going to say pie's round. I'm just saying. Wow, Corey, no more caffeine for you tonight. I'm just saying. Yes, it is Pie Day. Make sure you get your souvenir. There's one if you go to an event, and another one if you get a mystery cache. two pies for you. Just go for it.
I'm gonna guess that Lisa's cache events thing has to do with Pie Day.
Could be.
That's my guess.
That's a really good guess. And speaking of which, why don't we go find out?
You think, Corey? You think?
Could be.
It doesn't.
Corey's going no.
Puzzle caches.
Taz, what do you think, Taz? No. Yes or no?
I think it's about puzzle caches.
Let's hear it. Give it up. Hey.
Hey, cachers. I'm Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance.
Talk about
your host for the geocaching question of the day.
Well,
I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Monday through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, a question about geocaching.
We recently asked,
here we go.
Have you completed any challenge caches yet?
Oh.
Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that everyone who replied has completed at least one challenge cache.
Shame.
So here's what we heard. Lewis's comment on Google+ was shared by many. He says, several, and there are several more I might grab it when I'm in the area list. You know, Lewis, that's the same way that I take care of mine as well. I keep a separate pocket query in my GPS, and I know that they're there when I'm ready to do a puzzle or a challenge run. Well, James on Facebook had a different opinion. He said that he's done quite a few over the years, but my attitude towards them has changed over time. Back when they were few and far between, I took on most of them. But now that you can't hardly swing an ammo can without hitting one, my usual response to a new one being published is, meh. I'll do them if I've already qualified, making them essentially just a traditional cache. But otherwise, my interests are elsewhere, and I don't usually bother with them.
Any pie.
Well, Kevin on Facebook shared, yes, I like the variety of caching they can encompass. I'm actually working on a meta challenge, 100 challenge caches found. Wow. Well, Don shared, yes, plenty. They add a lot more interest to geocaching than just doing individual caches. Well, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about challenge caches, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And guys, now you wonder why you don't get cache crates. I'm just saying. Woo! All right, tonight's episode 393, The Cacher's Creed. And little side note, in case you didn't know this, the actual website and the upkeep for the Cacher's Creed actually is done by our very own Lisa from Cache Advance.
Did she make up the creed, or is that like
somebody else did, and there's some history that's built into it on the website. It kind of fell out of you know, use to whoever actually wrote all that and got all the information together. And Lisa mm-hmm. took the reins after a while and actually took over and kept the website going ever since. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really cool that that it's there, and we appreciate Lisa doing that because it is a great reminder for letting people know, you know, some of the good ethical type of thinking that really should be going with when you go out geocaching anyways. But it's always good to get reinforced, and that's why we're doing it tonight. I try to pull this out probably about every other year or so just as a good reminder.
So it's not like a rule, it's just a creed.
It's just a creed. It's just saying, I believe that this is the best way to do things and give understand why you're doing it. So it's a really good thing to know. And by the way, if you want to check it out, we'll have it in the show notes, but you can go to www.geocreed.info, and you can see the website that we're talking about tonight. So that's where that is. All right, let's go over some of the things. Now, there are three words that are on the top of the GeoCreed webpage. And this will start them? This is going to start our discussion. And, Scott, I'm just going to let all you guys go rampant with this.
Let's I want guess
you
it.
To work nice now. Play nice. The three big words that are on the top there is safe, legal, ethical. Go.
Safe, legal, ethical.
Yes. Okay. Let's hit safe. Why is it a why would safe be such a cool thing to try to remind to people?
Because you can as seen by a geocacher a couple of weeks ago, it's very easy to die doing this activity.
Yes. Very much so. I mean, it's important to understand when you're there is no major restriction shy of common sense, and I'll leave that right there. When you're hiding a geocache, the safety of other geocachers should be a consideration. Mm-hmm. When you're a finder, you should take your own responsibilities of being safe when going out to find said geocaches. There are some very extreme geocaches out there, and knowing Absolutely. Your limits and being safe with that is huge. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to find about, you know, me being a 300-pound fat man, you know, sprawled out someplace because I tried something I shouldn't have. But being safe,
working a pain angel on the ground.
Exactly. So it's important to be safe. Legal. All right, Scott, go for it.
I don't know what that even means. I don't know what that means.
Legal.
Of course, I'm legal.
Cases.
I'm legal. I bend. I don't break. Come on. There's a fine line between bending the law and breaking the law.
And there's also a line between being escorted out of a state. I'm just saying.
And being asked to leave a state.
By gunpoint.
Well, I don't know if it's a fine line if you got to be there if you get it done twice.
Yeah, when the police go, oh, it's you. You know you are not.
Again.
Yes.
I tend to usually not break the law. I will bend the law on occasion, but I, you know, breaking the law is breaking the law, and I try not to do that, especially for a geocache. You know, it's really not worth that.
No, it's not worth going to jail.
I mean, breaking a law, going into a forest preserve at night is against the law. You know, is it even illegal?
In many states, yeah.
I know it's frowned upon. Is it actually illegal?
A lot of them, yeah. It's an actual statute.
A lot of places it is.
I've done it in a lot of states. But I consider that bending the law. I don't consider that breaking the law. Breaking the law is like robbing a bank to me. You know, like I don't consider going into – I'm not hurting anybody but myself going into a forest preserve at night. So I don't consider that breaking the law. I consider
All right. We'll move on to the next part because we actually get a little granular on that and we can dig down just a little better. Ethical. Ethical is an interesting word for cases.
That's a very weird word to put there, if you want my opinion.
Well, I think a lot of it is the idea of fair play, honest play, and with geocaching being open to interpretation and being able to do what you want with geocaching within the guidelines. I think a lot of times being ethical is a good thing to do. There is right and there is wrong when you come.
Yeah, but that's such a vague. It's a very vague black and white kind of what's right and what's wrong. It's different for every person, you know.
Yes, and let's break down a little bit of this. There's seven points that they go into here. If you actually go to the Geocacher's Creed page, there is mountains of information that you can read up background information on this, and I highly recommend. I mean, you're not reading a manual when you're doing this. This is common sense stuff that opens up a lot of information for you. But we're just going to hit some of the main points with here to talk about. The first of the seven points is not to endanger myself or others.
Do not place a cache in the middle of a highway.
Or next to a busy highway.
Yes, I think that's a lot of it's that's common sense.
Actually, most of this, if you really think about it, is. But on the other hand, I can give you enough examples of people not doing that.
Oh, I've seen very stupid caches. Yeah. Yes, I completely agree. Yes, very stupid ones.
Absolutely. I mean,
I've had two archived because of their placement was extremely dangerous between interstate. In the medium between interstates where you don't, you know, it's not like you have a graveyard and 100 feet between the roads, but, you know, you got a 15 feet swath of land and people putting it in, you know, you don't have a turnaround lane or anything like that. You quite literally have to park your car on the other side of the road,
really?
Run across the freeway to get it. It's like, nope.
No.
That one is getting reported.
That's how did that even go live? How did that go live?
I questioned that myself.
What reviewer was like, in the middle of Route 42, that's okay, boom, live.
Well, I'm not saying the reviewer who is priming my area's name, because I want to keep on having my caches published.
In a timely manner.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of times you get situations where I've seen several where somebody puts it in the center of a roundabout because they're becoming more popular in the States. When the roundabout was there, there was, you know, two houses and a car that would show up every, you know, hour and a half. Suddenly becomes a main thoroughfare where you have to play dodge car to get to said geocache. That's just not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless the roundabout has like a park area, like benches and stuff where people, it's meant for people to actually cross over there. We got a few relatively large roundabouts here in Houston that are really small parks.
Yeah, literally.
But yeah, it's that's I don't know,
things change.
It's difficult because I've seen caches that I mean I got one where it was under a bridge. I mean literally under a bridge. You had to monkey under the bridge to get to it, you know. There's other ways to get to it, probably, sure, but the way I got to it was I hopped over the bridge and monkeyed underneath it with, you know, like with my and got the cache, signed it and climbed back up. Now was that stupid? Absolutely. If I fell I would have been dead. But it was my choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was completely my choice to go get it. So when you say ethical hiding, I get that, but if somebody's willing to go get it, I don't know. It's, you know, it's
if the terrain is, I guess for something where the terrain is high and the difficulty is, you can fall, like climbing a tree,
right?
That's and you put the high terrain, that's fine, but
at least it's expected
in an area where you're not only potentially endangering yourself, but you're also potentially endangering others, like crossing an interstate to get to a cache, potentially endangers.
Yeah, that's a little
people.
Different story. Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah. If I want to kill myself, you know, God bless me. But if I don't, shouldn't take other people with me, you know.
Yeah,
it'd just be me, you know. If I'm stupid enough to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, point number two. Okay, Scott, I'll let you have this one, too. Observe all laws and rules of the area.
Wow.
Excuse me, Andy. I will say it once again that I said earlier. The path did not have a sign that said cars couldn't be on it. That was my defense.
What? In Europe, Coopers are apparently expected to be bicycle.
That was my defense to the police officer, and it worked for him. Okay. There was no sign that said I couldn't be on there.
Yes. Some of the things that they were talking about is don't break the law or rules of an area or encourage others to do so when placing or seeking a cache. Don't leave illegal items in a cache. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Bullets are not swag.
Bullets, it's my favorite.
Well, bullets. You know, I actually, there was
I've heard it. I've seen it.
It was Idaho.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen bullets. Absolutely. Yes.
That there was, it was a signature item for a cashier. I did a list. I did a pretty wide round, and it must have been a signature item because there was one round in each of these caches.
Really?
And it must have been his signature item or something.
Was it the Lone Ranger?
You had a full chamber by the end of the day.
I don't know, but I mean, I could have, you know, I had probably 24 rounds by the time I got done. Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm like, I said, you know, I'm not leaving this thing in there.
No,
you know,
exactly.
No.
Yeah, switchblades, knives.
No bullets and caches, eh?
Oh, my
this
God.
This is Texas.
What is that? Oh, my God. Is that? Oh, yeah.
It's a travel bug.
Well, here, I'll show you.
Wait, hold on. Although, you know, it's, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is the case. Okay, that I can see.
Still got an FMJ.
Here, I tweeted a picture.
I
was at a cache. I got to find it.
I just don't want little Timmy going, Daddy, is this a 50 mil? You know, 50 millimeter? Come on.
I will not be taking that one to Brazil, though.
No, I would not be taking that to Brazil either.
Which one?
Down in Vegas, you can find some pretty good illicit material in some of the caches.
You're kidding.
You can find that just laying on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've found stuff like that, too.
What?
Okay. Scott, did you have something, or can we move on to the next one?
I can't find it, so go ahead.
All right. point number three, respect property rights and seek permission where appropriate.
That is a biggie.
Yes, I agree.
Keyword, where appropriate.
Yes, and here's a couple of little background things on it. Check if permissions is required before placing a cache on private property and respect the landowner's wishes. Yep. Check if public land has a geocaching policy and respect existing policies. State parks are huge on that. A lot of parks are huge.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Promptly remove your cache if the land manager or steward asks, and do not damage or interfere with the function of building structures and signage.
Mm-hmm.
Don't break it. Leave no trace as much as
possible.
Don't
break it. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
aside from geotrails, are really, you know, just trying not to leave a trace. But that's unfortunately the nature of the beast, especially if it's, you know, if it's in a high traffic kind of area, and we all know the high traffic, you know, the caches that constantly get hit, even if they're in a park or the woods, you know, it's just a high traffic area. You know, it's like that's what's just going to happen. Unfortunately,
muggle trails are going to happen, but if you can reduce the possibility as much as possible, is great. Bushwhacking is not a mandatory thing. There usually is a trail somewhere, even though most of us find them after we find
the
geocache.
That's what I always stress to Jesse. I go, you know, when she's like, oh, I hate this. I'm like, find the trail. I'm telling you, nobody bushwhacks to place a cache. Nobody does it.
No.
Yeah. Nobody is going to bushwhack 0.6 to drop a cache. It's not going to happen.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. I love this. Number four, avoid causing disruptions or public alarm. Scott?
Whoops.
Don't place a cache near schools or government buildings unless the administration or the staff are fully aware of the placement. And even then, I question it nowadays.
No. I wouldn't
use
it.
Yeah, use caution where children play. Parents are understandably concerned down here. They will shoot you when strangers are near their children.
Well.
Don't place a cache near critical infrastructure that might be considered a terrorist target, or create a cache that might be mistaken for a terrorist device. I don't know.
And never...
Huh? Go ahead.
I was going to say, and never place a banana-shaped cache in a pine tree.
They can't be mistaken for bombs.
But at least the banana is no safe.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So just...
But There have been hand grenade shaped ones.
Oh, sure.
They used
some
to
made
be
out
sold.
Of the lead pipe, pipe bomb. Looks like a pipe bomb. Mm-hmm. You know, people use your brains here.
Yes. Yes. And again, common sense. Oh, it's funny. Not anymore, it's not.
Yeah, it's not funny when the cops are called and the bomb squad comes out.
No, not good at all.
Yeah, you try to avoid the trip from the bomb squad if you can.
Yeah.
That's pricey trip. You don't want
never
that
again.
You don't want
yeah.
That. No.
Number five, minimize, my and others' impact on the environment. I think we hit that fairly well, but let me just double check what they've got in here. Follow leave no trace ethics whenever possible. I love leave no trace. Mm-hmm. They're a great group, and it's a good organization, and they go out of their way to make sure that they try to make note to not just geocaching, but hiking and any of the other outdoor activities out there to try to leave as small of a footprint as possible. And all they ask you to do is try to be conscious of it while you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just simple stuff. You know what? If the geocache is placed over here and you've got this entire landscaping things of flowers, I don't think want you digging into that.
Go around it.
Go around
it. And whenever you're taking their hump back out, if you got six water bottles, hump out six water bottles. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's a good one. Be considerate of others.
Well, that's more of
that's
a creed
the golden
for
rule.
Mankind,
and again,
isn't it?
It's common sense, creed. But how many times do we have people, just doing the extremes just because they can? You know, treat other geocachers civilly in the field, in the forums, or wherever your paths may cross. Okay, that doesn't happen in the forums. I know. I don't know if they've read this
geocaching
in a while.
Forums. Good. Oh, man, that's like a wasteland of just hatred.
I'm just saying.
That's what that is.
Verbally civil is just as good as you know, writing. I'm just
that's
saying.
Like, that's like a microcosm of the internet, is that
yes.
thing. That little
it
thing.
Really is.
It's like, wow. Yeah.
Yes. Don't spoil the hunt for others. Allow them to experience the cache as the owner intended.
Yeah.
No spoilers, please.
I'm one of the people. I actually like to hide a little better. I'm one of those kind of people. I'm
just not 50 yards that way.
No. I'm just like I try and treat it like my own. I'll take I'll give it the extra second and cover it a little better, you know, or something like that, or you know, make sure if it's a hanger, make sure it's hiding a little bit behind the behind the tree or something like that. Not just pick it back up and go.
You're not just like moving it for the sake of. I
you're
think
just
it
making
should
it
be
proper.
No.
You're making sure that it's well hidden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want it because you know the hider did that, you know, and I always like to try and hide things the way I would want it, you know. I treat people the way I want people to treat me, kind of thing, you know. And same thing with my hides, It's like I don't want somebody just like exposing my cache, you know.
Exactly.
It's like,
when I do cache maintenance, I find my stuff out in the open.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah,
yep.
People.
This one, actually, a lot of people tend to do, I've seen, and actually it's been a help, but I'm just saying, don't provide any hints if the cache description asks you not to. In other cases, be cryptic or encrypt any hints or spoilers you enter in the online logs. I can't tell you how many times I got stuck on a geocache someplace, went five or six logs down, and found a crucial clue.
Absolutely.
And say,
just did it the other day. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like, okay, what kind of container am I looking for?
Right.
Find the newbie caster that posted a picture of
the
container. It's like, so it's a bison tube. It's probably hanging somewhere.
Right. We have a couple in Chicago who takes a picture of at every cache that they find. And so whenever I can't find a cache that they find, I just go to their picture. And now they don't spoil it, but you could see where they took the picture because, you know, they take it at ground zero.
Right.
So you know, okay, the cache is at that tree over there because that's where they took that picture, you know.
I've used it, and they're not even pointing at the cache.
No,
they're pointing at these trees over here, and that tree's got this Y. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, if I'm at that angle here, it's like, back up. Oh, it's behind this tree behind me. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I love it when you're at like a pine tree hide and something like that, and someone's like, glad I'm tall. You're like, okay, it's a pie. You know, it's like...
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and the last point on here is protect the integrity of game pieces. I am so huge on this. I am so huge on this. Travel bugs are not made for your dog to have its new squeaky toy.
I don't even
want to get into this. I've heard of geocachers doing that. Oh, my dog liked it, so we took it.
It's, you know, I don't even put out travel bugs anymore because everyone I've put out is gone. Every single one is
gone. Got a few left. I've got, and they're in Europe and they're doing fine. Yeah. But
the ones that made it to Europe are my ones in Europe are still active. Yep. But anything that was in the States is gone. And I had some really cool ones. You know, I had like a haunting carbonite one, gone. You know, gone. It's like somebody horked it. And it's like, it's just irritating. You try to put out these really cool ones and they're gone. So many people take them, you know.
Yep, absolutely. But the idea is there, and is it the concept that they don't understand this is somebody else's property or,
no,
well, it's out just, in the wild, I don't care.
It's I'm not there to say don't take it, I think. You know, I mean, I've seen some very cool, I once saw a Dark Side of the Moon, a Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon geocoin that I wanted so bad, you know, like I wanted to keep, but I didn't keep it. Right. You know, I shoot it back out.
You know,
I got the little icon on my. I got the little icon, but that's it. You know, on my page, but that's it. You know.
Yeah.
I've hung on to them a little bit longer and traveled them around a little bit longer, but then eventually released them.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'll tell you a story. Finally, a happy ending for me with this. If there was ever a coin that I was going to be tempted to want to take, was when I first started geocaching back in 2008. And there was a geocoin that came out in 2006, which was the Monopoly geocaching board.
Hmm.
And this coin is, to me, absolutely amazing. It looks just like a Monopoly board. It's square. It's got all the, you can tell that it's Monopoly. Love this coin. Thought it was fantastic. If there was ever a temptation, that was it. But I let it go, and away it went. It was 7 years now that I have been trying to find one on eBay.
Oh, you're kidding.
To try to find. I missed one that I saw a couple years ago by that much. And I'm like, I want this coin. This is a coin that I really, really want.
Mm-hmm.
Finally found out by complete accident that one of our friends who also collects geocoins happened to have one. And I was actually able to do a trade with her over the weekend. So I now have a Monopoly geocoin. But I've been waiting 7 years for this thing. You got to do that. You can't just take it because you want it. It doesn't work that way.
Right. I know. And it's irritating, you know. Most of my coins, the ones I really want, I keep. I don't put out. But if it's something, you know, if somebody gives it to me or something like that, it doesn't bother me to throw it out there, you know. But the ones I want, I'll throw. If I have to throw some out, I'll throw a proxy out, you know. But no, I don't throw things out anymore. I don't waste my time.
I won't release any of my coins.
No. I'll do proxy.
I'll make travel bugs. I'll release proxies, but I won't release any of my coins.
Nope.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And it's a shame it has to go that way. It really is.
I actually once had a, you know, I used to take my what I used to do. I used to take my son Toby. I used to take his toys and attach them to travel bugs. You know, that was like the Han and Carbonite one, and I had a Spider-Man one. All those little action figures, a little like, you know, like 2-inch ones.
Yeah.
And I had a C-3PO one, and I did a C-3PO one. It did not even make it out of the cache I put in.
I had one.
Didn't even make it out. Didn't log a mile.
Did you drill a hole through it?
Yeah. The uglier you make it,
that's
drill
like
a hole through the center of the body, and pass the core through the center of the body.
That's what I did. It's like,
and
it's a joke. It's a joke that like I was like that. That's what completely. I was like, I'm done. When like it doesn't even make it out of the cache I put it in. Goodbye. That's all.
Yeah, I made one for my ex wife years ago when I first started in. She was so excited about it. Same thing. Never the person who the person was there did not log it. And the only reason why we knew who it was is somebody else was with them. They didn't log it. They don't log geocaches. They just go from geocache to geocache just because they like to find them. Never logged it. Took the travel bug. Never heard of again.
Oh.
What do you do? I mean, it's terrible. So, yeah, just basically protect the integrity of the game pieces. Remember there are other people's property. And, you know, if somebody's got one of your favorite objects in the entire universe, you're going to take care of it or want somebody else to take care of it. Do the same thing.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, good stuff, guys. I love the Geocacher's Creed and how we can have this pop up every time a new geocacher opens up the app. That's my next thing. I think this should pop up. Little points in here should pop up in different key areas of the app when they go to do certain things.
I don't think it's not going to happen because Groundspeak didn't write it, so I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I know, but the concept's there. Again, trying to get the geocachers who are newer to the game more in the know of what to do and what not to do. Just a thought.
Groundspeak has done have made some improvements with regards to placing caches here recently. The new map that they have on there where you approve where it's at is bigger. It does have a little checkbox to go to satellite, although it doesn't start in satellite view. Has a checkbox in there. You can see a little bit more.
I think more guidelines.
I don't know if they're hearing our words or other feedback, but it is slowly improving.
Yeah, I'd like to see it get a better, more guidelines. They can turn them off later, but after X number of fines, it'll turn off, that kind of thing.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Or you got to click through them all once or something like that. At least you got to click through it and read it once, kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyways, all right.
At least the first time you attempt to archive a cache.
I'm just saying. That's a quick tip we're putting out next. I'm just saying. All right. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed our little talk with the Geocachers Creed. Again, thank you, Lisa, for keeping that going, because it is a good set of information for all geocachers to go through and understand. We ask you fine folks to please support our show. If you go over to geocachingpodcast.com, on the right-hand side of the website is our PayPal donation. I've got a few bucks, send it our way. It helps keep the show going, and we greatly appreciate all that you do in that area. Please tell others about the Geocaching Podcast so they can come in and get into the great discussions we do each and every week. All right, guys, thank you so much for being on the show. You did fantastic, and I think it's time to move on. We'd like to thank you fine folks for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thanks again to Lisa from cache-advance.com for all the things you do. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website, www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and so many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.